working now, Verda. Today is January...
February
the 24th, and we are going to interview Verda Westenskull. I am just testing to see if this is working. Hey, Verda. What is your full name, your maiden name, and did you have any nicknames?
Yes, I did. They remember it now. Are you recording now?
Yes, just talk a little louder.
My name is Verda Nebaker Westenskull. And I do have a nickname. My younger baby brother was born after my dad died. Couldn't talk my name well, so he called me Lovey. Oh, he called me Eddie. And Viola, the younger sister, he called her Eddie. See, you're getting me all swept up here.
That's all right.
I think of these ahead of time. I was called Eddie, and Vi was called Lovey, because she's younger than I am.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Did it stick with you most of your life?
All my young life.
Yeah.
I got rid of that when I went to school.
You know,
the home,
it's... Now, how many children were there?
We had eight children. I was the sixth of eight children, and I was the first one born out on the 80-acre ranch that my dad had just purchased before my birth, evidently.
Okay, and what year were you born, Verda?
I was born May the 6th, 1917.
So that makes you how old?
I will be 86 in May of this year.
Okay.
May the 6th, 1917.
Now, birth. Is Gertie older or younger?
4 years older.
4 years
I
older.
I had a brother, Vern, was 2 years between us.
So you had a wonderful family.
Yes, we did.
Were you named after someone else?
No. The lady that helped take care of Mother at my birth suggested this name, and I haven't liked it very well since, but it's Verda. It's a very unusual name.
Yes, and you should enjoy having an unusual name.
I have. I've got used to it.
For years, mine was unusual, but now it's getting more common. Okay. Now, your parents' names, what were they?
Well, my father's name was Joseph Wiley Nebaker, and my mother's name was Annie Helen Lindsay Nebaker.
Uh-huh. And can you tell me their grandparents' name?
Not offhand.
Okay, that's okay.
Well, I can tell you my grandfather Lindsay, because he's the one I'm most familiar with. His name was Alexander Lindsay, and my grandmother's name was... I wish you'd have suggested his name. I can't think when I'm pressured like this.
Oh, that's okay.
Pause a minute.
We'll just... All right, now, what do you remember? Which grandparent was the closest to you?
My grandmother, Lindsay, but she wasn't very close to me when I was young growing up. My grandparents were older, and I was one of the younger ones. So I had not that much contact with my grandma, Lindsay, but I did go out there to her home once or twice, and for no reason, I guess, but I used to follow my grandpa up to watch his garden, and I always loved to go with him because he always had white peppermints in his pocket that he would treat me with.
Oh.
And I loved to go to my grandmother's cupboard because she always had her little off pantry, is what she called it.
Uh-huh.
Cadbury English blue dishes from England, you know, that she had came from England. So I loved them, and she made the best oatmeal cereal I think I ever ate. I loved hers because she cooked it in a double boiler, and it was all nice and creamy.
Ooh,
when
yeah.
I got up.
How did she serve it?
I don't remember, sir, just in a little bowl. I was just the
with
one.
Cream? You just regular?
I imagine. She,
yeah.
Yeah, we always had, and she was English. And I don't remember much because I was only out there once or twice, and they were older, and I was younger. And
was she Mormon, too?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well,
they all, family of 12 children, and the parents came from New Zealand where we were. They were all born, or that's where they came from.
Uh-huh.
And they came about 1910, I think it was.
Oh,
to
my.
This valley.
So your relatives have been in this valley a long time.
Yes. The interesting thing was they were headed, according to my grandfather's history, they were headed for Utah to be with the saints. They were converts from New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
But then they came down over this beautiful mountain, and they expected to see all plains like they just come through over Pass Pendleton.
Yes.
And it was so beautiful that they thought this reminds us of our valley in New Zealand. So instead they were going to stop here and check it out. And they checked it out, and they bought a home here, and we've all been here ever since.
No,
they raised their family here.
Were they in town, or were they on a ranch?
No, they bought a ranch about a few miles up here south of La Grande. It was a little valley up in there, surrounded by mountains, which reminded them of their farm back in New Zealand that they'd left.
Well, I think La Grande's one of the prettiest valleys that there ever were.
Well, my mother always said she never wanted to go back to Zealand. She said this, her good friends, the Stoddards, had told them they traveled all over many places, and they always thought this was the most beautiful valley they had.
Uh-huh.
She always stayed right here. This is where she had no desire to go back to New Zealand.
Isn't that wonderful? It really is. Well, do you remember some of the childhood health diseases that they had, and what they did for them in the early years?
As a family?
Mm-hmm.
We had whooping cough and measles. And the scarlet fever one time that we were subjected to, and I was about the only one out of that family that didn't have a least touch of it. We were quarantined for 6 weeks from school and from everything.
Oh, that's
so something. We had to wait till we got over, and then they'd give us the signal we could come out again.
I had scarlet fever when I was little.
Did you?
Young. Mm-hmm. I can remember being delirious.
But we were very fortunate. We grew up healthy. Our mother was wonderful to take care of us with their home remedies, turpentine and lard, or grease our chest. I don't know, she was just greatly blessed to take care of us.
Well,
in fact,
sure.
Her patriarchal blessing told her that she would be like this, that she'd be able to take care of her family, and not those many words, but that's
And now that was for colds?
Oh, colds, we always had colds,
I'm sure.
All had cold sores around my mouth, I remember, used to make me so miserable.
Now, I don't imagine, did you have a dentist when you were little?
Well, I can remember when I got bigger. But
didn't
not
need one until you...
Not when we were small. We didn't talk about that.
I did not. And there's a doctor, I suppose, in town.
Yeah. We had to come to La Grande. They had to come out there. The doctors were called to take care of mother when I was born.
Oh yeah, they used to make house calls, isn't that wonderful?
Well, and my mother was, I think, the midwife of the town or little community out there. She always, every time a baby was born, she went and she knew we could take care of ourselves, and she's sometimes gone with them to help for a week at a time.
Oh.
So we all knew what we had to do.
I think it's great to become so self-sufficient when you're kids.
That's what we learned.
Too many of them aren't. Too many of them get in trouble. Now, did you have any accidents when you were young? Did you hurt yourself in any way?
I don't remember anything really serious with me, except I had my tonsils and adenoids out. The same time my girlfriend, Anna Mae Flower now.
Yes.
We were in the same time, and what her specialist took her tonsils out just like that, and they were butchering me for a long time, like Mother said. And it took me a lot longer time to have mine out, and
probably longer to heal too.
Well, I can't remember that, but I hate to say this, but it left me with my nerves in my face twitching, my mouth and my face.
Oh.
And it used to make me feel really bad because people make fun of me, you know.
Well,
and I couldn't control it. So Mother took me to this Dr. Rawson, who became a real good friend of ours, and he said, well, the surgeon that took you out, he cut nerves to your eyes that affected him like that.
Uh-huh.
So he set me up with glasses, and I've worn glasses ever since. I was 6 years old.
And the glasses helped the twitching?
Yes.
It's gone.
Eventually it started up. Uh-huh.
Well, thank God for that.
It treated me for my life growing up.
Yeah? Oh, that's neat. So, Anna Mae Flowers was one of your playmates.
Oh, we were just like that. We rode horses together. We were just a few months apart. So we were.
She used to live out there down in the city.
Yes, but she's back in her old home. Now, they've added on to her parents' home, which was just across the street from, or the road from, where the schoolhouse was.
Oh.
So after school, we'd just go over there and pick out her horse and ride it, and it was named Belle, I think. And when we tried to get on her, the horse would turn his head around and by that, so we had to be careful.
Horses can be so wondrous sometimes.
Oh, but we loved them. We just grew up on horses.
Oh, I'll bet you did. Okay, do you remember some of the trips? Did you go on very many trips?
Well, I didn't get out of this valley until I was in my senior year of high school. And that was when I stayed with Otis and Winona Veal to help take care of her two young children so I could graduate from school. I had no transportation because the buses didn't come back and forth.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed with Otis and Winona Veal and took care of Larry and Teddy. Teddy was just 6 weeks old.
Oh.
So I was their nanny, I guess you'd call me today.
Yeah.
And I love them, but they were just my most wonderful parents. They were my second parents. And
isn't that nice?
So he cut my hair and cut off my long hair and made me look real sharp, and everybody loved it short.
Oh.
And I did too. And I loved them. They were such great second parents.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Yeah, I tell you. Okay. Can you think of any unusual happenings in your childhood?
No, it's a little community out there in our school, and in the church we're all about the same. One was across the street from the other, out from across the road, and it seemed like we had a wonderful time out there. We were just like a big family there, and most of us were Latter-day Saint people who lived there. We had our little church over there with the wire strung across the building, you know, for the classrooms.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just knew everything that was going on, but we loved our little church and we loved to sing the songs out there because we didn't have too many anyway. But
so when did you start taking piano lessons?
Well, when I really didn't have too many lessons. When I first started, my mother couldn't afford piano lessons. So, but she let her oldest daughter, Helen, have a few in here at the ladies out here in May Park area.
Uh-huh.
So Helen would take her lessons, and then she'd come home, and she knew I loved it too, and so she'd tell me the notes. So I practiced them on the church hymn books, and that's how I learned to play piano.
Well, and it's a blessing. You're still doing it.
Well, and after I got in a little older, when I was able to, Helen was up and married then, I guess, and then she let me have a few lessons in for another the same lady that gave Helen lessons in here out there in May Park area. And I got I don't remember having long, couldn't have been long, but I loved what she taught me, and I just took to it because I loved it so much, and I had to do most of it on my own.
Well, yes, and here you are today, still playing for church, playing the organ, playing the piano for the Relief Society.
Well, you know, if you
didn't do it, I bet your hands would get so stiff you couldn't use them. It probably helps to exercise.
Oh, I'm glad for that, yes, because I have to do this anyway. But now I'm having a few health problems, but it's kind of a problem for me.
Oh, doggone it. Mm. Okay, do you remember some of the visitors to your home?
Well, yes, I remember Brother Ray Baum, the father of our Bishop Ray Baum, who has been. He used to come out through there selling life insurance, you know, and Mother never could afford to buy life insurance. But we always enjoyed having him come, and he was always so nice and friendly. And then we had another gentleman who had a problem getting around, and he'd come out and sell these products like Betty Blakeney used to sell.
Watkins
products.
Oh,
so
yes.
Mother would buy turpentine, I don't know, but some salve that we use, and whatever little drugstore items that she needed, she'd buy.
Oh, yes, well, they sold vanilla and all kinds of things.
He sold some pudding mixtures later on.
Yeah, spices. I remember Mother used to buy pepper from him.
And then he'd generally stay all night with us because he's traveling around, you know, slow like they did then. And Mother always gave him places to stay.
Did you get any of the leaders of the church come out there?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember ever. See, we had the same bishop as Anna Mae Flowers' father, E.D. Whiting, was the only bishop in that little community for 27 years.
Things kind of changed.
Well, people grew up and moved away. And
they kept bishops a whole lot longer then, didn't they?
Well, he was about the only one out there because it took just what priesthood leaders that were there to just do the other
the other work.
The leadership places. But we had a wonderful ward out there.
Oh.
And everybody was active. I can't remember anybody being inactive.
And in the wintertime, did you go sledding and stuff?
Oh, yes. Somehow, we had a bobby sled where we could hook the horses up to.
Oh.
And then we, the nice moonlight night, we hook up the horses to the sled, gather up all the kids in the neighborhood, and away we'd go in the moonlight night where we could see.
What fun.
Oh, we did have a good time.
Remember how many that bob sled holds?
Well, 12, 15, I can't remember, but
yeah.
It hold a lot. It was a big...
Big. What, a couple of horses?
Yes, always horses. That's all we knew is horses.
Oh, well.
That's how we got to town, the horse and buggy, or us ride our horses.
Peaceful days then, but hard work days.
Well,
in a way.
They were hard work in a way, but I can't remember feeling bad or feeling sorry for myself.
Well,
we had a wonderful
life. It was just
life.
The necessary things of everyday life.
Our mother was father and mother to us. All these years, and she had a chance to marry several times. She always said, nobody else is going to raise my children.
Uh-huh.
She joined the church, and she was going to have her children brought up in the church. And
that
we knew what was expected of her, and we loved the church. We always went down to our little church house. We always knew the Nebuchadnezzar kids were going to be down there ahead of time. We come early so we can watch them. They'll help pack in maybe wood around the big old pot belly stove.
Uh-huh.
And I'll watch while the priesthood leaders came and built the fire. And that's all we had was the...
And you had wood heat in your home. And your mother probably cooked on the wood stove.
Oh, yes. We'd go up there into the mountains, Mother, and I don't know how...
How'd she get her wood?
Well, we had an old, some kind of a slipping bike, and we'd carry up there, and the trees, the things, you know, that we could haul back down.
Who'd cut them up?
Well, they'd just fallen trees.
Oh.
And because when we got down there, and she'd pile them up all we could through the summer, then she'd hire a man to come in with a...
the kids and your mother would lift these logs up?
Well, no, I can't. No, I don't remember me doing it.
Uh-huh.
She had my brother, see, Vern. And,
oh.
And Wally were bigger as they grew older. And that's my mother... She'd make him promise. And my dad knew he was going to die. And he, according to what I read, that he made her promise that she wouldn't separate the children. That he said, they're growing up and they're big enough to help you with and keep you the farm. Because he had only bought it just when I was born.
Uh-huh.
He had all these children to raise. And so that's what she did. He had not been raised up in his family. They'd been so poor down there in Utah. But he'd always had to work out away from the home and hadn't really been raised up with his family.
Now this is the same farm that Gertie, she got out there and
that's the farm that she grew up in. It's where Wiley is.
Uh-huh.
That is our home.
Uh-huh.
But that was the Leo Hibbert farm down there where she is now.
Yeah, but when she was young, she said she got out there on the team of horses and was plowing when she's about 13?
She did all. That's why I was committed to being the housekeeper.
Uh-huh.
And the cook. Then our older sister Helen married, and she liked the horses and playing out there. You know,
she was the tomboy and you were the homemaker.
I was the homemaker.
Yeah.
And we were very satisfied.
Oh, that's great.
But that didn't mean that I didn't do an awful lot of hoeing gardens and shocking hay, you know, and turn it over when the rain would come. So we all worked. But
I imagine you had chickens.
Oh, we had, yes. Every time company came and Mother didn't have any prepared, she'd go out and she'd have that chicken killed and cook. Everybody liked to come and eat at Grandma Nebuchadnezzar's place.
Oh.
Nellie Nebuchadnezzar, that's what she was always called, Nellie Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet. Okay, so you attended school out there. Do you remember any of the special activities associated with school?
Oh, I should say, for my eighth grade, well, we had an eighth, when we were in eighth grade, we had a young man named Mr. Bierman, we called him, from Portland. He was a golf pro before he was teaching school out there in a little country school. And he had an old stick. He got into like a golf club, which teaches a little about like golf club, but we played all kinds of games. that we had programs out there, and when I was in this eighth grade, Anime Flower and I were in the little Christmas play that we put on for the community, and she was the mother, and I was Toynette and the elves, all the elves.
Oh,
and I had to pretend like I was weeping over something I could remember. I'd be weeping and she'd be laughing.
We would try. You had a hard time weeping.
But we had a lot of fun with that little program.
Oh.
And then the church always put on a play or some big program out there for Christmas. And so on Christmas Eve, we'd all go down to the church house, and the people in the world had, yes, I'm getting ahead of myself. But we had this wonderful program, and then when Christmas, and the program was all over, then you could hear a man came in, and one of the leaders, Rockin' just got word from Santa Claus, he's just coming over Mount Emily.
Oh.
And you know how inside all us little kids were.
Oh, of course.
And pretty soon we hear the jingle of the bells and the things on the roof, you know, and here he come running in the back door with his hat. Sack on his back, and there we were, Santa Claus in person.
Oh!
And he'd pass out these big sacks of candy that the people were selling, of course.
Uh-huh.
And talk and jolly and laugh, and we had such a good time.
And were oranges a real treat when you were young?
Yes, Mother always managed to get to oranges for Christmas and a big bunch of mixed nuts, and each one of us had a sock, and we always tried to be get the biggest sock we could find.
Yes.
And so we wake up in the morning, we was like excited, we couldn't hardly stand it. And there'd always be a big orange in the toe of the sock, and then a few trinkets up in the top, and the nuts, of course, the shell, and that's the way we spent our Christmas, just eating and laughing and cracking nuts and playing out in the snow, if the snow was there.
Now, what were some of the gifts you'd get at Christmas? Did you have games? I bet you played games a lot.
I don't remember any of the gifts, except I do remember one rag doll I got, and she was my most precious doll, and I couldn't find her. I lost her one time, and I couldn't find her, and I never know what happened to her.
Oh,
but
so you haven't forgotten that.
But we always did. One Christmas, I especially remember, this candy bit didn't come very often, you know, so I decided didn't want to eat it up all now. So I went and hid it somewhere in my stuff. And one day I'd forgotten all about it, and one day I found it. If you don't think that was a treat.
Oh, I'll bet. Later on in the year, huh? Yeah. Oh. Okay. Who or what do you remember any humorous associations besides you two laughing over the play?
Oh, I don't know. Individually, we always were laughing and talking and having fun together. We loved to play games out in our, just off from the house into the sort of where orchard was, really, and it was grassy but open. We always were playing baseball, it seemed like, or in the snow in the wintertime, we played Run Sheep Run.
Oh, yeah.
And chasing the fox and geese, chasing the geese.
And Annie Annie Over? Did you ever play that where you throw the ball?
Yes, I couldn't think of the name of that.
I can remember it being called Annie Annie Over.
Yes, uh-huh. And we play hide and seek.
Oh,
my cousins
yes.
used to love to come out and play. And then we had that whole orchard up there and the whole farm and down the barn.
Especially when dusk and it's just starting to get dark and you could find such good hiding places.
Well, I don't remember that, but we didn't have any trouble finding hiding places. When company would come, we didn't have room in the house for many people, you know. So the adults stay in there, but the kids, we'd all head down to the barn in the hayloft. The boys would, anyway.
Jumping off in the hay. Yes. I used to make mud pies when I was real young.
Well, I can't remember making mud pies, but we had a little stream of water that came down right by the house. In fact, it was a little well there. And so we dip in the summertime. We dipped the big old tubs full of the water out of the well.
Uh-huh.
That was our swimming pool. We danced ourselves in that.
Oh.
All summer. I thought that was great.
Get cooled off. Oh, I tell you, our youth is so wonderful. It really is, but I don't think I'd want to go back.
Oh, no.
Okay, who or what influenced you to take certain courses or do the things that you might not otherwise have done?
Well, I had my own choice. I knew pretty much what I wanted. Just all I could always love world history, and I was pretty good at mathematics. And since I was a pretty good student, I got a high dad honor pin when I graduated, and so did Anna Mae White, and we felt very satisfied that we were able to do that. We were just country girls coming into high school.
Uh-huh.
And
so did you plan on going to work?
Oh.
I mean, did you take classes? Bookkeeping or anything like that?
No, and that's the one sad thing of my life. I wished I had. I took shorthand and typing. I was real good at it.
Well.
Too, and, but I didn't, eventually later, I wasn't too interested. But it's always been, I love that. But I've always been sorry that I didn't take bookkeeping because nobody suggested or gave me any suggestions. I just picked out what I thought I wanted. But Mr. Blunt was one of my teachers there when I was in the last grade of high school, and he called me over to his house one day, and he said, "I think you'd make a good teacher," that was the only suggestion I ever had.
Uh-huh. And so did you go on to become a teacher?
No, I just graduated. I graduated when I was 17 because Anna Mae and I both made two grades in 1 year out in the little grade school, so
uh-huh.
I was really kind of ahead. But what was that question?
Well, I can't remember.
Yes, I did think I was going to be a secretary, but the boys, they'd laugh at me. Oh, you're not going to be a secretary, Verda. So I went after I graduated from high school, I went down for, Ida was down in Utah at that time, staying and working, and she had written me, "If you come down here, Uncle Hal thinks that he can find you a job." That was during the Depression, and jobs just weren't available. And I hadn't been out the valley but one time, and that was to Washington to visit relatives with Otis Winona, the first time I'd ever been out of the valley. So I was excited to get out and try my wings and see where I was at.
What did you say she was?
In Salt Lake.
Uh-huh.
Down there with my mother's sister, Aunt Dorothy, and Uncle Hal. And so she had gone down there to help take care of our grandmother with Aunt Dorothy. And that's how Ida got down there. And then so she wanted me to come down. And so I went down there after I graduated, right after I graduated in 1934.
Mm-hmm.
And my Uncle Hal, of course, Ida, she put me right into Henninger's Business College. She thought, if she's going to be a secretary, she needs to be in there. And they were advertising, "We'll give you a job. You come here and we'll guarantee you a job." So I went there, spent a wonderful summer there with Ida, and going to the big city, and Salt Lake was a month wonderful to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I met some wonderful families down there. One family, of course, had a couple of sons who had a good time dancing and things that I had never been doing before, and going out to that big resort out there, one lagoon,
uh-huh.
With his family. Yeah, and anyway, I spent a wonderful summer there, but came fall and...
You got to go to the temple?
No, I wasn't. Hadn't got my endowments.
Oh, that's right.
I was
right.
A young girl.
That's
then.
Right. You don't go to the temple
until
you're married, do
but
you?
But I was right there by the temple and get ahead of myself. But Ida and I were there to go to a conference one time, and we were outside, with the visitors. But Salt Lake was a wonderful place for me then. But they sent me out on a job. I was in a little hat shop. It was not the selling part, but this man had a little hat shop, and he needed somebody to watch his office. So they sent me over there. I was for 12 and a half a week.
Uh-huh.
That was my salary, and that was a lot for me. You used to have money. And so I was there for about a month maybe or so. And then they had a chance to, somebody up there in Idaho, I can't remember the name of the place, is up there practically about where President Benson lived, but in that area. For a 2 month job, I would have got $100 or something more a month if I got for 2 months, but it's just when they were doing this harvesting of sugar beets. So I thought, well, my goodness, that sounds like a gold mine. But I wasn't prepared for it. I had no bookkeeping, and I didn't have any office machines. I was just getting into comptometer work, and I loved it when they sent me up there.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't do it. And so that was my sad, sad loss of the job, my first real chance to make a little money. And so I was kind of depressed, and I was getting a little homesick, and I had Al back here waiting a long time.
Oh, you'd already met him, huh?
Oh, I went with him. I knew him ever since I was 14 years old.
Uh-huh.
And he's waiting for me to grow up and make up my mind what I want to do in life. And so I decided I'd come back home. I couldn't go back to Aunt Dorothy's, a failure, but I just... So that's where I came home here, and I were married.
About 19 what?
Well, the fall of 1934 when I graduated. I was just down there for one summer from June, May to October I was when I came home.
And so how soon did you now get married?
Not until February. I still hadn't made up my mind, and you know, things have been kind of depressing, and I had a chance for another job in the motor company, and I knew I wasn't prepared for all that kind of work. I didn't really want to be a secretary, and so I decided it was home life for me. I wanted a husband, and a good husband, and had
what
a family.
What did Al do for a living at that time?
Al had the store. He was working in the Imla cash store. His brother started that on Al's money that he got out of his accident.
Uh-huh.
And so Al worked in the store all the time, and then, of course...
Now, what accident did Al have?
Oh, he lost his leg there when he was 10 years old out there in Ember at that crossing that goes across the road.
Oh.
You know, this airplane had come out there, and the children, young people, all were so excited to see an airplane come out there in the valley. So there was the man at the service station who had a big flatbed truck, and it... all these kids piled onto this truck. They were going to go out and see this airplane. And there was a blind corner out there, and the train from Le Grand going up the branch didn't stop or whistle.
Oh.
And so when he...
stop or didn't make any noise or didn't whistle?
No. And, of course, Al, this is a long story, but to make it short, he was given $2,000, I think, is all he got for the loss of his leg. But the...
Well, go back and tell.
Well, that this is about
because we didn't get it recorded. How many kids got hurt?
Well, two boys got killed. His two nephews got killed, and then another little boy, and then Al was the other fatality. But he was the only one that was able to recover. The other boys didn't get hurt like that. But it was a terrible thing for Al. These two nephews had just grown up with him about the same age, and so it was hard. It was his sister's only son. She was the oldest in the family, and Al was the youngest in their family. So they grew up just like brothers.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was a heartbreaking thing, but...
Here he was so injured, and then lose his cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I tell you.
But you have another question, maybe? You're not
sure.
Yes. Yes.
Let me pause.
Do you
remember when Al proposed to you?
Well, yes, but there's nothing spectacular about it because I'd known him from the time I was 14 years old when I just graduated from the 8th grade. And he lived on one side of the valley by Mount Harris, and I lived under the valley, under the mountains, Emily.
Uh-huh.
So we just were across from each other. And he had his eye on me from the time he saw me, and he said, I'm going to marry that girl. I didn't think so because I knew he was 7 years older than I, and I wasn't interested only in just having fun. And first time I'd been out of the Mount Glen is to go over to Mimbler Little War to their socials. And that's where I first met him, due to a cousin of his who lived across the street from him, who was my best girlfriend that I'd met after I at the church social. Her name was Winona Weston. So she invited me out there to watch her in a play, and when she was in her high school, and she's the same age as I was.
Was she related to Al?
She was second cousin from him. Lived right across the street from him.
Was she helping him?
Well, no, she didn't care about that at all. But he could come over and couldn't dance, of course, but he could play in the little band that they had, and he was a drummer, and they had a fiddler, an Indian fellow, a young fellow who was really good in a fiddler. And then he had a piano player, and Al was the drummer, and one of his cousins, his cousins was a trumpet player. So they had quite a good orchestra, and so I would love to dance, and Winona and I, we didn't want to get boys to dance with all the time, so Winona and I really could carry on.
What kind of dancing did you do?
I know Flea Hop was the only one of them, waltzes, and circle two steps, and Virginia reels, and, you know, and all those old-time dads, we just had a ball. And that was our main activity, is just going to the dances and...
Well, of course.
And socials, where we take just pies and box lunches and...
Oh, yeah.
And that's where Al...
Did you do that in school, where you took
No, we did that out the end, but that's where the only social life I had at the beginning.
You'd take a box lunch and the guys would bid on it?
Yes, you dressed it up just as pretty as you could. And I took a pie. We had a pie social out there. That's how I really met Al, I guess. He had his eye on my pie, and I don't know how he found it, but he got it. And then Lester was like it, wanting it too. Lester was for his cousin, and said he felt so guilty, so he let Lester have the pie.
And he never got any of it?
I never got it.
And Al never got any of it? You remember what kind it was?
No, I can't remember. But from then on, it was just, I just knew him growing up, you know, get back and forth. We'd go to shows and all, but I was lived over there, and I was in town going to high school, and he was out there working in the store.
Uh-huh.
And he'd just come in, take me to a ride up to where our legs on time, and we had a flat tire, and then we had to go get it fixed before we could get back. Just...
Okay, now were you married in Embler or where?
No, we went to Walla Walla. He wasn't active in the church, but his family were kind of inactive. And he was working all the time, Sundays and everything, so we went over there and got married.
Uh-huh.
Walla Walla. Then we were sealed after we had Barb and Ann, our two sweet little girls.
Uh-huh.
They were just 11 months apart, and then they got, just before... Joyce was born. We went down and were sealed in the Salt Lake Temple, and that was a wonderful occasion.
Oh, of course.
I made my little girls beautiful white dresses. And
oh, and you got all sealed together.
Yeah.
Okay, now how many children did you have?
We had seven.
Uh-huh. And what were their names?
Well, Raymond Alfred, named after his dad. And see, after the girls, I'll start the first, Barbara and Ann, and then Joyce was our first one after we were sealed, little Joyce. She was really a joy, too. We were so happy to have her. And then Joyce, got me all settled here, Barbara and Ann and Joyce, and then Raymond and Gordon, and Beverly and Marlon were a little later.
Uh-huh.
They come later.
Okay. All right, in your settling down to married life in your new home, where was your first home?
We had five different places out there in Denver before we got settled. We started out with in his parents' big home. They were older, really older, and so we had no place to go anyway, but they let us stay there for the first month maybe, and then we wanted to be by ourselves, so we went down and rented a house down the street in Embler. Seemed like we were moving from house to house before we found one. But then my brother-in-law, or Al's brother that owned the store, he wanted to go to Union, and so Al was in charge, and he wanted us to move out of that house and come down and rent his house. And so we were back and forth five different places, but finally...
So did he go to Union to start another store?
Yeah. But that was only after his dad died. When his dad died in 1945, before the war ended. But while we were out there in Embler, he sold the store. The Al was... I needed to clean it for him. He sold the store to his brother, another brother, Wallace, who were old, and his mother died when Joyce was born, just a few months after Joyce was born. So we moved up into the big home, and he said, you can have the house if you'll just come up and take care of us. And so that's what we did, and took care of them until after he died in 1945. She had died in 1945.
Where was that house at Embler? Was that by...
across from Lamar's place.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
They both made out...
Right next door to George Royce eventually, huh?
Did George Royce own that big house? That
no,
big
he
house?
Had a new home there.
No, that was down the street closer to the school.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was wonderful. So then you had a home.
Well...
A big old home, huh?
Well, yes, we did there from the time George was born, and... then Raymond and Gordon. Then we moved to, after he died in 1945.
The father? Al's father.
Al's father.
Uh-huh. Then, what was his name?
Hans.
Hans?
Hans. He was the oldest of their family, was uh-huh. his ghost. So Al wanted, his brother Irvin had gone to Union and set up, taking care of machine or refrigeration business. And so he decided if Al wanted the store, he could buy it. He had done that before.
Uh-huh.
And so we had the store out there for 10 years. We bought it for $100 a month to get the store. And so that was before we moved to Union. I should
that
have said
was
that first.
Little store there in Ambler.
Yes, it was in the cash store.
Is that the one on the corner?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah?
That's the one we had.
Oh, my.
For 10 years out there. So then we moved to Union. So, and then we built a house out there, and we've been in about 20-some houses in our different times of moving. But it's always been exciting. He always wanted a better house because he went into selling insurance and with real estate with my brother Vern.
Uh-huh.
They had Wesson, Skonebaker real estate and insurance here for 25 years.
So did you, after you sold the store in Ambler, then you went in, he went into real estate?
Well, we went to Union there for about 13 years. We were in Union.
And what did you do there?
Well, lots of things. He was a businessman. He first, we went to open up a little grocery store over there for a year, but he could see he didn't want to do that. And the variety store was right next to his store, and he wanted to sell it to the man who was running the theater in the Elgin.
Uh-huh.
So he bought the variety store for them, and we were in that for 5 years. And then it was right there, his brother had the theater. He had just built that and remodeled it, you know. It's a real nice modern theater, too, before television came in.
Uh-huh.
And so he didn't want to bother with that. He sold it, and then Al started working there at night till he was getting established in real estate. And anyway, this is a long story. You won't want all this. Well, that's where he got his license in real estate. It was out there while he was running the theater at night, and we drove back and forth 5 years to Le Grand from our new home that we built there in Union across from the Methodist Church. And that's where Beverly and Marlon were born when we lived there in Union. And anyway...
So then did he start his own real estate, or did he...
Yes, he had an office in the Grand here with my brother.
Uh-huh.
But he drove back and forth for 5 years while he was running the theater at night and sell real estate in here in the town in the morning. So he had a busy day, and when he came home, I had to have dinner ready so that we could eat the set and be down by the theater for 6 o'clock to open up the doors.
Uh-huh.
And we had a thriving little theater up in nice, lovely movies that we don't have now.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd have a full house nearly all every night. Tickets were 50 cents for adult and 65 cents for if they could sit in the loges.
Yeah.
10 cents for children. And that was how we met Dale and Doris Wyatt. They'd come over just after they come to Le Grand. They were first married.
Uh-huh.
So they'd drive over to our little theater, and there's a little a stairway up above, a little balcony sort of.
Yes.
And they loved to come over and go to shows and then go up in this little balcony. They were just newly married. That's why they were wonderful friends.
Oh, that's neat. So then when did he sell out, or when did you move to the Grand?
Well, we had the lease on the, not the longer story, I cut it short. He got a lease on the theater when this man had bought my brother-in-law out, but he got tired of running it. So he sold it to Al, or he gave him a chance to lease it for 5 years. So that's what we did. We had moved to Springfield in the meantime.
Oh, yeah?
When Beverly was just a tiny baby, and Al wasn't happy down there. He was going into real estate down there, and he got in an office, but he wasn't happy just sitting in there taking care of the office. And so he had retired anyway by then. So we came back to Le Grand.
About what year was that?
19...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We're done. No?
Well, hold her off for a minute then while I think. Al ran the theater for 5 years.
After you come back from Springfield?
Yeah, we come back from Springfield and live in Union. And we were there for 13 years. And that in that time, he had the lease on the theater for 5 years. So as soon as that was up, television had come in and had ruined our theater business. And we were through anyway with it. And that's when we moved to Le Grand. Now, what do you want me to tell you? I was always active in the church out there.
Yeah.
All kinds of jobs, but we haven't got room for that.
Yes, I do. What were some of the church positions that you've held and Al held? And
well, Al was either the financial clerk or the ward clerk all during his church, and he was just a high priest group leader, too. He was always active in the church. As soon as Beverly and Mom were born and he became active, we got rid of that Sunday work, and he came back and never missed the time after that. And so we had a wonderful time, and I was president of the Young Women as soon as I got over there in Union. Work in the Young Women's Program after that. I've always had every job in the church, I think, except secretary, until that was when I had my accident with the cell down here before I moved out to Annabelle. And that was...
I bet you've been Relief Society president.
No, I haven't done that much in Relief Society. I've been pianist, or, you know, and then organist. It's been about my favorite calling. And I've said about everything except secretary, and I had that calling before I fell. And that took care of that, because I had was laid up then and had to go out to Annabelle.
Uh-huh.
Now, what else did you want to...
Well, let me pause. What are some of the hobbies besides your music?
Well, music is great. I love to sew. I sewed all my children's clothes when they were growing up. And I love to, and I was complimented once. A man approached me and said, "How can you afford to buy all the good clothes for your children?" And I said, "I sew them."
That's right.
And we were thrifty. I was the thrifty one of the two of us.
Uh-huh.
And Al,
he takes a balance, doesn't it?
You bet. And we always worked out. The Lord blessed us in so many ways, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can imagine. Do you love to read?
Oh, I love to read, yes. And I love to garden. I love to see things grow.
Me too.
And I love to ride horses. We had
you
one
still ride
time.
Horses?
Oh, not now. Mylon would love to get me on a horse, but I'd break every bone in my body.
Yeah, that's all you need. That would be terrible. Well, are some of your plans and hopes for your future? I mean, you seem to be very well settled here.
Well, I have a wonderful family. We just adored our family. Our whole life's been dedicated to our family and the church, and we loved each other, and he's a kind, gentle husband and father, and
had a good life.
We've had a wonderful life, and I've got wonderful memories and stacks of them in books and things like that. But church always came first in our lives and our family. And
that's why you've had a good life.
And our children have grown up with the same desires. They really love doing what they're doing.
Definitely. Anne is still on the mission with her husband, Bob.
Yes, and they'll be released the 15th of April of this year.
Oh, tax time. They're coming home tax time.
Well, they're anxious to get home. Bob's had a few problems out there, and it's a miracle that he's even been able to fulfill that mission. But he's been loved it, and they've been very with inactive people, and people just love them out there. And they said if they just stay longer, they'd give them a house, they'd furnish money, and everything they wanted.
Oh, my. Well, that's good.
That has been a great thing. Bob always said that because he hasn't been on the mission, and so he said, "Well, if I die on the mission, I'll..."
Can't think of a better place to be.
No, I don't. And he has a doctor in his ward, and he says, "I'm watching you real careful because I don't want anything to happen to you on my watch."
Oh, isn't that great? Well, Verda, I think we've had a very, very interesting... wonderful life story.
I hope I haven't talked too much.
No, you haven't. That's what this is all about. And so we're going to close now. And
I was trying to end my mind.
We discovered that we have room left on the tape, and so we're going to talk about some other things. You're going to tell me how many have gone on missions?
Well, it's over 100 out of our own family, counting the spouses, and they've so many of them. Most have been on missions, and their spouses have been, and our grandchildren. I've lost track of them since they all passed away because I haven't been able to keep up with them all. But we do have some great-great-grandchildren now from some of our older, our oldest daughter and her families, and they're just spread all over. But they love to come together as a family, but they're spread out so far.
Where are some of the places that they've been on missions?
Oh, it's hard to say a lot. We've got these two grandsons that just came back, one from Mexico, from the Philippines. Some of our grandsons have been back to New Zealand, and my grandparents, of course, their sons, my uncles, and they've been back to England and to New Zealand, to South Africa. Gordon's one son was during all that trouble down there, and they've been all over Uruguay and then places here in the States. But they've been just and Ben is up in St. Petersburg in Russia.
Oh my!
And there's hardly any place they haven't been. Some of them or other.
And Bob and Ann are in what, Texas?
And Chile down there. And did I say Uruguay?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you've been a wonderful.
Well, they're a missionary family. I'm really proud of them, but
yeah.
We were trying to figure up here just recently how many missionaries have been sent out just from our family, and there was over 100.
Oh, I think that's marvelous.
You know, from the different families, and the missionaries that they've married, and so it's been a wonderful time for us.
Well, it's something to be very proud of, too, that you've been able to raise your children and have it go right on down to the grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And
well, we aren't. We're not all perfect, but you know, some of them have drifted away, and then they've come back, and you still keep praying for them. And,
well, like I told David and them that someday his kids may have to baptize my kids because I don't think I'm ever going to get them in the church.
But they've got the spark of it.
Yeah.
They got me in touch with them. You're a wonderful member. I just appreciate you. You seem so smart and intelligent and
well,
know how to express your things so well.
I'm glad to have you for my visiting teacher because I enjoy you thoroughly and it's nice to get to know you better. Really,
yeah, and I haven't really known you either until I moved into this ward. And
indeed.
I think these very sweet ladies. I haven't.
Well, we're not supposed to talk about me. We're talking about you.
So okay. I'm about talked out.
Let's just pause here.
I just signed down here then.